It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Like I said, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, great hour of entertainment. EDM DJ Paul Oakenfold, hip-hop DJ Pete Rock, two of the best DJs in the history of DJs. I know that I can, you know, I'm a talk show host, hyperbole, but I mean, look it up. Millions and millions and millions of records sold. These guys know how to do it. They'll be coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. But first, wow, what a day in Springfield, but it's really been what a late afternoon in Springfield. Word came out that Governor Rauner has vetoed the bill to change the way pensions are done for fire and police to be able to extend so that the city could cover the cost and be able to, pass those savings on to us. But he vetoed that, so it automatically creates a $220 million hole in the city budget, which probably will be filled by property tax hikes again. Not to mention the budget, which is still not passed the state Senate. And the continuing, which I find to be very interesting, Pete, the continuing rank and file, rank and file dance that's going on. You're seeing more Democrats upset on both sides in the House and the Senate with what happened with Speaker of the House Mike Madigan's, you know, budget deal. Yesterday we talked with Senator Matt Murphy. Today we talked with Senator Daniel Biss. He's a Democrat from Skokie and other northern suburbs. Senator Biss, welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me, Justin.
All right, let's talk about this because this was, all week this has been quite a back and forth. I mean, I venture to say chaotic, if not completely manic. What do you think of what's happened here when it comes to the budget and the speaker's budget that's now waiting for vote in the Senate?
Well, we've been in a state of embarrassing crisis for a year now, practically. This is the end of the legislative session. We adjourn May 31st because the fiscal year starts July 1. We still don't have a budget for the fiscal year that started this past July. We're almost through the fiscal year and have had no budget for a variety of reasons. And so now we're supposed to be passing next year's budget, but of course we also should be passing last year's budget. And there's no agreement still. So the House passed something that has, you know, obviously is pretty far from perfect. Mm-hmm. It's wildly out of balance. And we've got only a few days to improve on it. And, you know, we'll see where we get.
Okay, I'm going to ask you some of the hard questions. You ready for that? I think you're always ready for that. All right. So, one of the things that was mentioned is that these working groups behind closed doors were working. We had Representative Sandak on, Senator Murphy, talking about bipartisan compromise, people coming together. Why not let that process play out? Why just throw that out and decide to go back to the way that we've been budgeting in the past? I know a way that you're not that happy with. Why do that?
No one's doing that. The working groups are still working. They're still meeting. They're hopefully going to get somewhere constructive. They're, from what I understand, not all that close to agreement. And we're talking about big, big issues. So, you know, it's Friday. The legislative session ends on Tuesday. And I think it's useful to continue trying for a comprehensive deal, but simultaneously also figuring out what plan B is going to be.
For all of
so anybody who says the working groups are disbanded is just, you know, it's just either confused or else they're lying.
Okay, so let's talk about the big issue here is that this budget is unbalanced. What's it going to take to get a balanced budget, and do you think that that's possible by Tuesday?
So what it's going to take is Democrats and Republicans coming together and deciding to make tough choices to balance the budget. That's going to include tough choices on both sides of the ledger. It's going to require some cuts that would be difficult for everyone, especially Democrats. It's going to require new revenues that would be difficult for everyone, especially Republicans. But it's doable, and everybody agrees it's doable. The reason it's been so hard to get there is that there's been an insistence from the governor that these other issues, you know, collective bargaining, union rights, workers' compensation, stuff like that, also must be part of the deal. And that's what the working groups have been trying to focus on. And the question is, can we reach agreement on all those issues and the budget by Tuesday? I sure hope so, but frankly, I'm skeptical, and I wish that we'd be in a position where everyone would agree, hey, no matter whether or not we get to an agreement on workers' compensation, there's still no reason not to come to an agreement on the budget. Let's just do that and stop punishing people and hurting people for literally no reason.
Well, I mean, the governor will say that his turnaround agenda items are items that are going to help stop Illinois from doing the things they've been doing to get us here in the first place. That, I mean, he seems to, you know, I don't know if this is necessarily compromise. If this is compromise, I don't know what is compromise. But the concept being that he's saying, you know what, these are important things, and they are budgetary because it's time that Illinois, you know, stops overspending and starts to tighten the belt. And so the question just is when you get an unbalanced budget that's actually bigger from Speaker of the House Mike Madigan, is that just politics?
Well, first of all, I mean, let's unpack a few of the things you said, right? The governor's got these agenda items. He calls them his turnaround agenda, and he definitely believes in them. He's a passionate guy who really thinks that they'd be good for Illinois. I happen to think they'd be catastrophic for Illinois. But they aren't budget items. He may believe, and we all may believe, that we need to tighten our belts and be more fiscally responsible, but that's not what his agenda items are about. They're about things like the workers' compensation system that makes payment to people who are injured on the job, or collective bargaining and union rights. That's not about the budget. So the question is, can we reach agreement on all these things at once? And if so, awesome, that's great. You know, the more agreements, the better. But if not, can we at least figure out what we can agree on for now and do that first? As far as whether it's a good idea for the Democrats to pass a more unbalanced budget, no, it's not. I think we'd be better off passing a balanced budget, and I'm going to continue fighting for that like I always have. But the longer the laundry list of things that we have to agree on before we're allowed to do anything, the harder it's going to be to find agreement by midnight on Tuesday.
You know, obviously, there's so many issues that you want to take care of here in the spring session, and there's things from criminal justice to other issues that are important to the state of Illinois. But it seems like this issue continues to be the one that everyone should be focused on. Talk about the tenor in Springfield, because it seems like, you know, I read Greg Hines' piece today in Cranes about, is it going to be war? Is it going to be peace with the veto of the city of Chicago pension deal with fire and police? And it looks like Rauner chose war. As a lawmaker down there, Daniel, as someone who is involved with this, is it getting stressed? Is there tension? Is there more politics at play than there should be in the last couple of days of this session?
Yes, and also yes. it's stressful for good reason, right? I mean, dude, people are really being harmed. This is not theoretical, and it's not a joke, and it's not a game. There's real harm out there, whether it's homeless people who are unable to have housing services, whether it's the mentally ill, the disabled, people suffering from addiction, domestic violence, sexual assault, kids that can't afford to go to college. I mean, this is real stuff. And so, in my attitude is, if someone has my job and is sleeping well at night, they're not thinking about it right. We all have to feel responsibility and stress about this. But there also is a lot of political tension and a lot of political positioning and a lot of brinksmanship that I think doesn't help. I think that when you've got, and look, Governor Rauner and I disagree about a lot of things, and that's fine. In fact, that's healthy, and it's a beautiful facet of democracy. But when two people disagree about many things but still want to make progress, the way to begin is to find those few things, maybe even those small few things, where there's agreement. And work on those. Find an agreement.
Well, where is
that? Use the agreement to make some progress and also build some trust. Well, I think we should all agree we want to have a balanced budget. That's
okay.
But I mean, know that we all agree that there should be some reforms to criminal justice. If we all agree that our local governments are too convoluted and that we have too many of them, they should be streamlined. I think we all agree that our education funding system needs to be improved. I mean, these are all things that there's broad area of agreement. And you know, my way of doing it might be very different than the governor's way, and I think we should be able to sit down and say, hey, let's find a halfway approach. The challenge is on things like, should we have unions or not? If his attitude is no and mine is yes, well, maybe we can wait till next year to figure out how to split the difference on that one.
Yeah. Okay, so the big issues, you know, I saw that the lawmakers, the Republican lawmakers, sending a letter to Bruce Rauner asking for talks to be picked back up when it comes to the big AFSCME negotiations for new contract. Also, the the veto of the pension, which I think is kind of interesting. I want to get your take on it. The veto of the pension change for the city of Chicago when it comes to police and fire was essentially the same concept that got Bruce Rauner voted in, which is Bruce Rauner is going to help us figure out how to stop kicking the can down the road and deal with our issues now. That's essentially what he said in the statement. We got to stop doing what did to get us here, where we defer and put billions of dollars on taxpayers' shoulders. But it also causes in the short term a serious problem for the city of Chicago, which is just going to put that burden on the shoulders of taxpayers. What's your take, Daniel? What do you think of the veto of the fire and police deal here in Chicago?
Well, I think he's making a mistake. And I think this is a pretty good illustration of, you know, working styles and approach. I didn't love that bill. That bill, I spent a lot of time ruminating on what to do on that bill because there is some delay of payments. I know that delaying pension payments is a mistake that's gotten us here. But I didn't just read that headline. I then said, okay, there's more, though. It delays payments compared to what's in the law before we passed the bill, but it still increased payments significantly from the previous year. Hmm. So what it said was, hey, the city's going to put in a lot more money than it put in last year, just a little less money than the law said before. So they're still committing themselves to a big increase in payments. That's a step in the right direction. It also assured that those payments would actually be made, which is a huge step in the right direction. And also it constitutes an agreement between the city and the unions that represent the workers. And that's also, I think, an important part of finding a collaborative way out of these problems. And so I wrestled with it and then finally wound up speaking on the Senate floor in support of the bill, saying, hey, look, this isn't perfect, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. It has the city putting in more money. It's a step toward fiscal responsibility. I could be a bomb thrower and say, oh, no, it's not perfect. Or I could say, hey, look, let's work together and find little steps in the right direction. I'm going to pick that second option. And I wish the governor had done that. Instead, he vetoed it in its entirety, which puts the city into even more of a fiscal tailspin and picks a fight with Rahm Emanuel and the Democrats in the legislature. And you already saw Rahm made this really, really aggressive statement in response.
Yep, here he comes, right?
Okay, great. Great, now we're fighting more. But, you know, what does that help? Hmm. What does that help?
Well, have a great Memorial Day weekend, Daniel.
Hey, thank you.
When do you guys go? Do you guys go back tomorrow? Is that the?
We're actually not in tomorrow. We're going to go back in Sunday afternoon.
Senator Daniel Biss, he represents Democrat state senator who represents Skokie and some of the northern suburbs. Senator Biss, thanks for taking some time out tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, Justin. I'll see you.
Download here on WGN Radio. Coming up at 8 o'clock, superstar DJ, turn it up. Paul Oakenfold is playing at the Mid. Have you been to the Mid? Have you ever been to the Mid, Pete?
I have not.
The Mid is a dance, like an EDM dance club at like Lake and Halsted. And I've never been in there, but I go by there all the time. And I have been in there, but not at the peak times.
For different reasons.
But it's a great little club that's really unassuming. And then they got a little sign that says it's going to be there. And I always drive past there on Halsted, and I'm like, oh my God, Tiesto's coming here? Like, oh my God, they have the biggest, like, is that a cover band?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the real person. And so I saw that Paul Oakenfold was coming. And Paul Oakenfold is a tremendous DJ and loved his music for a long time. I'm not very up to speed on EDM music. You know, dance music, but he predates that.
Yeah.
He's a trance house music DJ who really was the godfather, one of the godfathers of the sort of EDM movement.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk with him coming up at 8 o'clock here. And then after that, Pete Rock, which would be great.
Great.
Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Oh, man.
Exciting.
Love it.
That's a Friday.
Oh, the main ingredient. That record, man. That got me there. Now, that's a record I listened to. I went down to Harper Court and Hyde Park, which I think is awesome that he's going to be at Promontory, which is the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went down to Harper Court, I remember I bought the Pete Rock and CL Smooth main ingredient record there. You know, like I was cool hanging out. I was like, with the UFC kids. I'm like, I'm going to get the Pete Rock record. I'm going to get the new Pete Rock record. And, yeah, I had it forever. Still have those songs pop up once in a while on my iTunes, which is fun. So can't wait to talk to Pete Rock as well. And, you know what? Thanks to Daniel Biss for that conversation. And, you know, we've been very I think we've been pretty objective to have Sandak and Murphy and Biss. Some people text in saying Biss is just talking points. But I don't agree. What I heard was a frustrated yet sincere tone from Daniel. Mm-hmm. And he's been on the show a couple times. He was on our first show. And I like that he can explain it. I mean, the idea that these bills are not perfect. And that's what I think people don't understand, or politicians take advantage of that. Nothing, I mean, these at the end of the day, these laws and bills, and they're written by people. There are always going to be things that aren't. And just listening to Daniel say, if you go a little deeper, they're paying more. You know, maybe they're not paying the full steep, because this is that kind of pension cliff kind of thing, where next year or this year's payment for police and fire is the cliff. So they're trying to make that cliff more of a ramp.
Yeah.
But they're still continuing to pay. So it's not like, no, it's not the old days like the pension holiday where it's like, we're going to take 5 years off. You know, we're going to take 5 years off and figure it out later. No, the idea being that I don't know what the number is, we can't spike into hundreds of millions of dollars, $220 million or whatever right now. And that's what his point is. He's saying that at some point, humans have to compromise and figure that out, because as you see with Governor Rauner, which is a full veto of that bill, there's a lot of people and a lot of Chicagoans that are going to be paying a lot more money if the alternative happens, meaning property tax increase again. And I don't know about you, but we just had one.
I don't want that.
And so it just gets to a certain point where it's like, you know, if the choice on the table is ramp or pass the expenses on to you, you know what? I'll take the ramp.